strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20. To the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes in midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
There. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, the Big Red Rage, starring Kerry Rhodes. And
yes.
It's the special Monday Night Football edition, is it not? I know we haven't been around since 1970, here on the Big Red Rage. And we don't have our own tour bus or our own billboards or yellow blazers or commercials. And Wolf certainly isn't any sort of John Madden or John Gruden. But, we do our best here and we talk football. And we're almost on a prime time type slot here. And we're going to get this all going. I think we can pose a question.
You're pumped up, huh?
Are you ready for some football, everyone?
I think they call that pandering, Paulie.
Because all our friends are here on a Thursday night.
Yeah, they're out. They're out tonight. Yeah.
Are you guys going to match my energy or what? I mean, you guys ready to bring it? My goodness. What's going on over here?
I see you're ready to go.
You're ready to go.
You ready? I'm just a little astounded, as a matter of fact. Right off the top, I was not prepared for it, Paulie.
I just thought I'd go ahead and stimulate and motivate you guys via my energy at this end of the table. That's all.
But there is something special about playing on Monday night. Is there not, Kerry?
Yeah, there's no question. Monday night brings out all the stars. Everybody comes out and ready to perform. And I think on our end, we're going to come out and be ready to go. Get this bad taste out of our mouth.
Yeah. So, all right. So this time a week ago, the question was, how much pain are you in?
Yep.
And you answered by posing your own question on a scale of 1 to 10. And I said yes. And your answer was...
What'd I say?
13 is what you said.
Didn't even know. He was in so much pain he couldn't remember.
He just blacked it out.
Yeah.
How about now? Go compare and contrast. How much better is it now?
1 to 10?
Mm-hmm.
About a three.
Nice. That deserves a round of applause. Yeah. I'm on board
with
that one.
10 is incredibly painful, right? You are using the same metric, right?
Yes.
10 was incredibly... Okay, so you're down to a three.
I'm down to a three.
Wow. Is that one of the most painful things you've ever had? Because I got to tell you, Kerry, I saw you when I saw you from the booth and you were walking and all of a sudden just, like somebody just ran you through with a spear.
That's exactly what it was.
Really?
That's the most painful thing I've ever had.
Honestly?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wolf,
yes.
You act so surprised. You realize the MRI revealed that it was a stress fracture from Kerry carrying you on his back all these weeks in the Big Red Rage. That's how he hurt his back. That's what the doctors determined.
Okay, well.
He left us. He left us.
You know what the most painful thing was I ever endured?
Okay,
Wolf. Was a shot under the big toenail.
Really?
Oh, they jammed. Kerry, imagine that. You had a well-dressed man with a black bag, and in it was blue juice. And he took out the needle, and he stuck it right in the end of the big toe.
Little turf toe?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that? The scream that I let out, it was atypical of me.
Maybe we should go around with a wireless mic, and we'll just for the next hour on the show, what was the most painful injury you've ever had? And we'll just go man to woman to child. We'll just poll everyone in the audience. So what has been the key? I mean, what have you been doing? Have you surprised yourself with the progress? Give us the latest.
Well, I think when I called a back specialist in L.A. and got a second opinion, and they said that the fracture won't get any worse. So taking that edge off of me mentally was big, and just being able to bear the pain and go out there and run and get the juices flowing again, it made for a great recovery for me. So just a mental thing was more than anything.
So are you still a possibility for Monday night, or is that classified info at this point?
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's not like you can tape it up or anything, though, right? it's either you can go or you can. It's all up to you.
That's it.
I see. All right.
Time to call that well-dressed man.
It is the Big Red Rage.
He's on standby.
With Kerry Rhodes and Big 9-0. That is next.
Second and goal from the 4 of Minnesota. Skelton takes handoff. Stevens howling up the middle, trying to find a hole. It's there, and he spins out of a tackle and scores. Touchdown, Lerod Stevens howling. And the Cardinals capitalize on the Ponder pick.
12 personnel. All they ran was an inside zone with Lerod Stevens howling, and they got movement inside.
How about Lerod, huh? How about the hype when Lerod Stevens Island had 20 carries, a career high 104 yards on the ground? He had the touchdown out of the backfield. He was catching the ball, 4 receptions for 45 yards.
Yeah.
And as you look up on the screen right now, who do you see? The team that you played last Sunday in Minnesota. That would be the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday Night Football, taking on Tampa Bay right now as we speak. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Kerry Rhodes. It is the Big Red Rage.
Yes.
So what images and takeaways and memories do you have of this Vikings game? What sticks with you the most?
Well, I was sitting in bed kind of hampered with an injury. So yeah, I was sitting there
somewhat immobile,
sitting there watching the game. And just to see how the first half went, and it didn't go well. But they come out in the second half, the way the defense dominated. I think they had 50 yards in the second half. So to see them come out and dominate and just take the fight to the Vikings in the second half was very, very pleasing for me.
Kerry, what kind of adjustment was made at halftime? Do you know? I mean, I realize you were laying in bed watching the game. I get that. But what kind of adjustment was made?
Well, I actually heard a story that that Ray came in at halftime. He drew 6 plays in blue, 2 plays in red. And the 6 plays in blue are the things that we did well. The two plays in red were the plays that we did bad. So he said, I'm not going to come in here and holler. You're grown men. The things in blue, keep doing them. The things in red, stop it, and let's go.
Really?
So it was that simple. He just said, stop the red plays, and we'll be okay. So that's very typical of Ray Horton, so it was a good deal.
Guys appreciate that, don't they? He doesn't insult your intelligence.
Oh, not at all. He doesn't come in there and give you the one for the Gipper speech that often. So he came out and told the guys exactly what needed to be done, and they did it.
You know what's amazing? I've been told by guys who have been up in the booth, and you know he's one of those defensive coordinators. He's not on the field. He is up in the booth that – as soon as teams will line up, he's calling out their plays.
Yeah.
That, I mean, there is truth to that, isn't there?
I mean, this guy, he puts all his time into football, I promise you. He looks and he breaks down every game. He breaks down games that team played last year, the year before. So, I mean, he's not going to be confused. And he's going to put us in the best situation to be successful. So, knowing that he studies that much and knows what he's doing, you have to ride with him. You have to go out and play for him because you know the work that he's put in to get you prepared. So he's that type of guy.
What are the elements that go into playing good defense from your perspective? You know, you've got the scheme, of course, but you also have to be able to execute it. How in the world are you able to go out there and keep a quarterback to 7 completions like you did with Sam Bradford and then 8 completions like you did with Christian Ponder? What goes into that, Kerry?
Well, it's preparation during the week. You have to know, you have to sit down and study and watch for tendencies of a team. You know that in certain situations they're going to take chances, and in that formation you can limit it and make it 2 or 3 plays that they're going to run, and then
is it still an awful lot of formation recognition?
No question.
That you've got to go through, even with different personnel groups.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And that's the thing where we've gotten smart as a defense, because it's not just myself or it's not just Paris or whoever doing that. I think for as a whole, the whole group is buying into that, being smarter football players, and they've learned a lot.
You know, after the game, speaking to coaches, Leslie Frazier, the Vikings head coach, said he was extolling the virtues of Adrian Peterson. That was the question. Okay, and he's coming off the December ACL. What a phenomenal athlete and running back. And we saw something in the running game this week, and then he sort of stopped himself. And I'm just curious. I mean, was there something they did see and they exploited? And was that part of the Ray Horton adjustment from what you understand? Was it something, that they noticed on film? And is that something you guys are going to be aware of going forward?
No. The runs they did have, from what I saw, it was our mistakes. Being out of a gap, not being sound, and them being good football players and being able to gash it. So that's what, like I said, that's what Ray said. I mean, you saw the red plays. It was plays that we can control, plays that we messed up on, but they took advantage of it.
When you think of Adrian Peterson, where do you rank him amongst running backs in the NFL?
I think he's probably number one.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's that good. I think
what makes him so difficult?
Well, he has a total package. I mean, he has great vision, he has great power, has quickness. Yeah, he has it all. He's pretty doggone.
That's the thing I love about Adrian Peterson as I watch him as an analyst. It's his willingness to take the third rail. You can either go left,
yep.
You can go right, or you can run right over somebody. And Adrian Peterson is a guy that has no problems whatsoever running right over you. And guess what? That's his baseline carry, and it sets everything else up in the open field because nobody wants to be embarrassed on national television.
Nope.
Nobody wants to be embarrassed in front of 80,000 people at the stadium. Nobody wants to be embarrassed in front of their family,
yeah.
Right, and their kids by getting run over. That's his baseline, isn't it?
The biggest one is the family. You don't want to get ran over from the family.
I totally concur.
They're looking at you like, you know, that 28 just ran you over. I'm like, yeah, he did. But
he just
good.
Went into character. You got to do that more often.
So forget about the millions of TV viewers. You don't know those people.
Nope.
It's the family and friends in the stands.
Yeah, they're going to talk about you regardless, whether you're doing good or not. But your family actually loves you, and they're sitting there talking about he ran you over. That's a sad feeling. So.
Oh. Apparently, AP told Patrick Peterson he's only 75% coming off the knee. He didn't look like no 75% to me. He was pushing the pile with like 10 guys in it.
Yeah, it was sad, man. I felt bad for those guys out there at the time.
I got one thing to say.
No room for apocalypse now, right now, Wolf. We don't have time for that. It's the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, soon to come Darnell Doggett from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all brought to you by Santan Ford.
That's right.
Back to throw, Ponder in trouble, and by his goal line, he gets away and throws an interception, a diving pick by Lennon at the 18.
Oh, release the Kraken.
Ponder to pass with time, pumps, rolls left, being chased, and ball flutters, and a diving interception by Acho at the 29.
Big areas that Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator, stresses with you guys. You've told us about it. Number one is turnover ratio. Number two is just points. You know, all the stats in the box score mean nothing ultimately if it doesn't translate to points on the scoreboard. And three of the NFL's top five teams, top five defenses in terms of points allowed reside in the NFC West, and the Cardinals are one of those top five teams. It is a Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford, and you guys are taking a lot of pride in basically holding teams to less than 20 points per game right now.
Yeah, but our goal is to hold them to under 17, so I think we're doing that right now, and we still got room to get better, so we're just trying to get better.
No, Kerry, there's been a lot of talk, obviously. You've given up 17 points against the Rams, you gave up 16 in regulation to the Buffalo Bills, and you gave up 14 in the last game here to the Vikings. And there's been a lot of talk from fans out there that they're worried about some type of schism developing in the locker room. Can you address that and speak to that?
Yeah, right now I don't see any of that. I think as a team, we understood coming into the season that the offense was going to take a little time to get developed or whatever. So those guys are trying to get better, and we see all the time and effort that they're putting in. So, I mean, they're not out there just not trying to get the job done. They may not be where they want to be, but they're striving to get there. So it's going to come along.
And I really do believe, to that point, Paulie, I really do believe that it's got to be the leadership on the defensive side of the ball. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Adrian Wilson. I'm talking about Calais Campbell. I'm talking about Darnell Doggett, some of the older guys, no offense when I say that, that really need to make sure that does not happen. Because you can go all the way back to the Super Bowl year with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
It was the exact opposite back then. And guys that like A-Dub and Darnell Doggett, these guys were around for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it was Kurt Warner in the offense that was really the strength of the football team, and the defense was kind of lagging behind. So from year to year, it's different, always.
It always changes. That's why, like you said, you got to stay humble and know that, you know, they're your teammates and they're trying to get the job done. And for us, we may be playing at a higher level than they are right at the moment, but at any time it can switch. So we're just pulling for those guys to get better.
You know, Darren College said on Monday, and, you know, he's a real stand-up guy with the media, and those same questions were posed to Darren College, just like Darnell Dockett faced those same questions today. And College said, and I quote, "We owe it to them to play better football," meaning the defense. Yeah. Have you had some of the offensive guys maybe come up to some of the defensive guys, or does that go more unspoken in the locker room?
It's more of an unspoken rule. I think, like I said, those guys, they know what predicament they're in right now. They know what they're trying to get out of to help us win as a team. And for us, I mean, you can't win with one side of the ball. That takes on the offense, defense, and even special teams. So it's a team. It's a team unit, team effort, and they're going to get better.
How much do you encourage some of the guys on the offensive side of the ball? Again, I think people don't understand for the most part that an NFL locker room is really different maybe than a lot of other professional sports. You have an opportunity to talk often in an NFL locker room, and there is some downtime where you're either in a weight room maybe, you're in the training room. You have a lot of exposure, I guess, to each other and a lot of downtime. And when I say that, I don't mean necessarily that you're not working, but maybe you're on a training table getting treatment and maybe the guys next to you. How often do you guys talk about this? And is it important to talk about it openly?
I think we don't want to talk about it because that gives it the ability to manifest. You know, I think if you talk about it more and then people start pulling at it and having their own different opinions on it, then it can be more.
But so, do you encourage the offense?
Well, we encourage them all the time. We expect those guys to be successful, and we have so many good weapons over there. We expect those guys to make plays, and we tell them, but like I said, we don't want to make it a big deal.
When you saw LaRod go for more than 100 yards on the ground, I mean, you know, were you, by the way, when you're watching, right, and you're there and you're basically in traction, right, from your own home, I mean, are you yelling at the screen? What sort of football fan are you?
Yeah, I actually was yelling at the screen a little bit because I actually know what's going on, and I know who may be at fault at a play or something. So,
I see.
Yeah, I was. It was a few expletives sent towards the TV, but you know, it was all in goodwill.
You needed one of your own direct lines, one of those phones, you know, one of those landline phones, just from your nightstand, sort of like Ray Horton has down to the sideline. You needed one of those.
Yeah, I had one that went straight to the sideline. So I saw the play, I called him on the phone and we talked.
One of those red phones.
You know, we used to have a phone like that. Mr. L. Davis.
That's right.
Well, Mr. L. Davis used to have a direct phone to the sideline.
Yes, he did.
And there were two words spoken usually. Go deep.
Go deep.
That's usually what was uttered.
Faster, faster.
Oh, my God.
That was the bat phone.
By the way, how did James Sanders and Rashad Johnson do in your stead? How did they grade out?
Well, they're always going to be steady. They're always going to be guys that you can count on to come in and play. They're the consummate pros, and they know when their number's called, they got to come out and perform, and they did that.
All right. Well, you know, it's not exactly a landline. It's much more advanced than that. You want to get your cell phone, right, and download the new Arizona Cardinals mobile app. It is free. It is available on iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. Visit azcardinals.com/app. Back with more on the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Joe.
Shotgun snap to Skelton, who's in an empty set. Throws deep middle for Fitz. A diving catch at the 20. He's loose at the 10, at the 5, and dragged down, but in the end zone. Touchdown, Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald with a beautiful catch and run.
And it's the hands of Larry Fitzgerald that makes him special, that makes him different. Went up and stabbed the ball, and my goodness, he continues to amaze.
46-yard touchdown catch for Fitz. He had 7 grabs, a 149 through the air. That was part of the Cardinals' 21-19 win last December against the Niners at home, University of Phoenix Stadium. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes.
Yep.
Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. And that's no small thing to do that against the Niners defense, because I know you guys have a lot of respect for that Niners unit, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, those guys have playmakers on every level. I mean, they're one of the top defenses in the league, and we're definitely going to go into that game trying to compete with them. I mean, you know, we see those guys, how much respect they get, and we're trying to get the same thing. So we're definitely going to know what's going on.
When you think of the San Francisco 49ers and their offense, what do you think of?
The first thing I think about with the Niners is their run game. I mean, they're one of the top run games in the league. I think they're second in the league. So they're committed to it. They run with the purpose, and I mean, you see it every week on film.
You know, for years, at least if you talk to some of the Cardinals players, it was, man, the Niners have a lot of talent. They were doing, let's just say, less with more than any team. And, you know, it was under Mike Singletary. Let's keep it real. They made the coaching change. What changed for that team? How did they go from, you know, missing the playoffs for a decade to making nearly a Super Bowl run a year ago?
I can't say because I'm not there, and I don't want to offend Mike Singletary at all, because I don't know what happened in that locker room. But I just think when Harbaugh came in, he gave him an identity. They were going to run the ball. They're going to make Alex Smith make less decisions and put him in situations where he can take shots and make easy throws and just make the game simple for him. So I think for him, he just made an identity, went with it, and that's what he did.
Collectively, that's kind of important on a football team, isn't it?
No question.
The confidence that you have, and not only yourself, but also your teammate, collectively, and the tone can be set by the head guy.
Oh, yeah, the head guy, he should set the tone. He should be the guy that does that.
You know, on that note, too, here you are. You guys are sitting here at 4-3.
Yes.
Do you ever worry, Kerry, as one of the team leaders, do you ever worry about disappointment, the disappointment of losing your last three games turning into discouragement?
Yeah, you can't let it happen. I mean, we know this game. You know it's hard to win in this league, and you can attest to this. I mean, as easy as it was for us to win those first four games, and it wasn't easy, but as easy as it was to win those four games, it's just as easy to lose four in a row. And as you see, we lost three in a row, and how fast it can change. So for us, we got to get back to what we've done to get to those four wins and try to limit the mistakes, and we'll be okay.
You know, this team, for some reason, seems to react and play well, you know, under pressure. You know, when there's no more margin for error left. A year ago, you won seven in your last final nine, made that playoff run, and then you lasted until the second to last week of the year before the team was mathematically eliminated. And so, considering the stakes, the national TV audience, considering it's for first place, everything that's on the line, do you think that's good that the monumental game was so much on the line? Do you think that's good for this team right here, right now?
Yeah, because we're in a position now where, you know, like I said, we've lost three in a row. We're getting a little scrutiny now again, and people are starting to turn their backs on us and say, okay, yeah, they were the Cardinals that we thought. So for us, it's a good rallying cry. It's a good chance for us to come out and, you know, right that ship and show everybody that we are that team that won four games in a row. So we're gonna be aggressive and get it done.
How aware are you as a team? How aware are the players in the locker room of what some of the people are saying about you guys out there?
You're always aware. I think a lot of people say they don't hear it or they don't pay attention to it. I don't pay attention to it either. But you get to see it, you get to hear it all the time. And like I said, you know, people are talking about us in a negative way now. And it feels good. It puts us in a situation where we're the guys that nobody expects nothing from now. So you get to come out and play the underdog role.
If nothing else, you can always probably gauge the climate and put your finger to the wind based on the questions you get at your locker, right, on Wednesday and Thursday, right? Just the media and the tone of the questions, right, and the content of the questions. You can always probably get a gauge of what the climate's like, I would assume.
Yeah, we know what the theme is when you guys come in there peeping around the corner to see us, see what we're doing. So, yeah, we get that.
I mean, no one's going to pick the Cardinals on Monday night. You know that. And you guys probably like that to some degree.
Oh, no question. We got a couple of fans that say, they are. So
yeah, but they're also the fans that are giving you brownies.
Exactly, yes. Brownies, yes, no question. But, yeah, we're excited to be on the dogs again. And we're going to have the Red Sea. We're going to be in the nest. It's going to be loud Monday night. So it's going to be fun.
That really is an advantage to you guys, isn't it, man? I mean, I'll tell you, it's so great to see from a guy that played in an old stadium where we got 22,000 people to come out and watch us, and rightfully so, I might add. Okay, and half the crowd was there for whomever we were playing. Really is a huge advantage for you guys playing at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Man, it's become such a great home field advantage for us, and the fans really buy into what we're trying to do and buy into what Ken is trying to put on the field. So it's a great home field advantage for sure.
Well, if you played in the first ever Arizona Cardinals Monday night football game, it was the first home game ever circa 1988 against Dallas, correct?
The Dallas Cowboys. Yes, I remember it. Not so well, Paul.
I see.
Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, all those guys, huh?
Yeah.
But I was there. I know that much.
It's a good time to remind everyone. Arizona Cardinals single game tickets are on sale. Now purchase yours today by calling 1-800-745-3000 or visit Ticketmaster.com. We roll on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
receivers left, one right. Shotgun snap for Smith. He's in trouble. Chase from behind and sacked. It's Patrick Peterson who gets him. Back at the 28-yard line. Boy, the Cardinals getting all kinds of pressure on Alex Smith.
Boy, that is a great job of scheming by Ray Horton and disguising it by the defense. Only a four-man rush.
First career sack by Patrick Peterson. Yes, your best covered corner getting into the backfield, because we know how it works with the Cardinals defense under Ray Horton. That is anybody at any time from anywhere.
Yep.
Welcome back into the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Kerry Rhodes. So, Kerry, let me just ask you the dumb guy media pencil neck question over here. Could there be anything more important for a defense than getting a rush with four? You heard Wolf mention it right there. Yep. San Francisco does a very good job. They've been known for that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get a pass rush with four, that just opens everything up as a defense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. If you can get four to the quarterback without blitzing, without leaving your secondary, hanging them out to dry, so to speak, mm-hmm. it's the best thing you can do. I mean, you can do so much stuff with it.
You know what's amazing about it, too, when you look at it statistically? The Arizona Cardinals defense, Paulie, number two in the National Football League in sacks per pass attempt, which is a much better way, I think, of trying to glean whether or not you're getting pressure on a quarterback. It's not just sacks, not just the number, but it's sacks per pass attempt. The Cardinals are number two in the NFL, and the 49ers, having the success they once did, they're number 23 in the league. It's still not ridiculously bad, but sacks, the Cardinals have 22 on the year. The 49ers only have 11.
Really?
Very interesting.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
Especially, what does that mean to you, Kerry, when you hear that the 49ers have the number one pass defense in the NFL, but they're number 23 in sacks per pass attempt?
That means they're back there covering their butts off.
They're covering
their butts off. And they have good cover guys as well.
But for the Cardinals to put up those sort of sack numbers and those percentages and do it without DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a team concept.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how is it exactly, is that maybe the key to it? Because it's so unpredictable?
Yes, I think it is. I think, like you said, we can come from anywhere at any time, any person. So it just gives the offense a headache trying to figure out who's going to come, because they're not sure on any particular down.
If you've got an identity, Kerry, if this defense has a personality, what is it?
Oh, our personality is we're going to be fast. We're always fast every game. We're going to be faster than the team we're playing. And we're going to be aggressive. That's the biggest thing for us.
How much does the fact that Niners are known as one of the better defenses in the NFL motivate you guys on Monday night? I remember a game in 2006 where the Bears came in with a number one ranked defense and the Cardinals came in. I mean, just the sideline was electric. The defense never sat down the whole game. They were just frothing at the mouth. No. We're the best defense in the building, and they played one of their best games ever.
No question. I think when you go into a game like that, you expect the other defense to play well, so you have to match that. So for us coming in, we know that they're one of the better defenses, and we expect them to have a good game. So we expect ourselves to come out and match them or do better. So that's the pressure we put on ourselves.
When you watch the 49ers and their offensive line in particular, what are your takeaways? Hopefully when Darnell shows up, we'll be able to ask him. But for right now, what are your takeaways when you watch their offensive
line? My take on their offensive line is that they're humongous. They're very big, very physical. In the run game, they try to maul you. They're big, heavy guys, strong guys, and they try to take your will. I mean, they try to pound you. And I see that on every game they played so far, except the Giant game. With a Giant game, I think their D-line actually played better than their offensive line. So, but for the most part, they're a big group of guys that like to take on you and be physical.
What about the Niners receivers? Let's ask Kerry about that. In particular, Randy Moss is now a 49er. And Patrick Peterson, where we started this segment, he used Moss as a verb this week. He said when he was a kid growing up in his neighborhood, he said they would get out there and talk trash.
He just got mossed.
Yeah, exactly. So you're familiar with that. Is that some sort of verb in the NFL I wasn't aware of?
Yeah, that's been around for how long has he been in the league now?
And what does that mean exactly? You got mossed.
You got mossed means when he does this right here, he puts his hands up. That means the ball is coming, and you're in trouble.
And you're 3 yards at least behind him.
You may be right there with them neck and neck, but I promise you, when the ball gets there, he's in front of you.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot here at all, but have you seen him run by anybody in you know, whether he got the ball or not for the 49ers this year? Have you seen him still be able to hit those jets and run by somebody?
He can. I saw the Giant game, and the Jet game, and I saw him put the hand up. I said, uh-oh. But he still can do it. He still can do it.
But there's that respect factor automatically when he comes out and lines up as Randy Moss, right?
It's no question. I mean, he's earned that. He's over the past decade or over how many years he's been playing, he's earned that respect. And when you see that name Moss, you know that he's going to be a guy that can make plays.
What about Michael Crabtree? He was one of their top draft picks a couple years ago, got a slow start in the NFL after the contract holdout. What'd you see in him last season? Crabtree.
I mean, he's a great player. I think he's their number one guy as far as the receivers go. He can make a lot of plays. He's strong, big guy, bigger than what you think, fast. And once he gets the ball in his hands, he's actually a great runner with the ball in his hands. So that's what I see from him.
And I know Vernon Davis this week has chirped a little bit because he wasn't in the box score a week ago.
Did he really?
Got shut out. So yeah. He's been a little unhappy, just a little FYI. If it was up to Vernon, he'd get about 50 targets this week, just to let you know.
And I'm sure he's one of their guys, so I'm sure they're going to try to get him the ball. So I'm glad you told me that. I'll be looking out for that.
And he's the real deal, isn't he? He's the guy who at his size ran, 4.4-something 40? I mean, he's a true freak in that regard, isn't he?
He's definitely a freak, no question. I saw him work out in the offseason a couple of times, and that man is jacked.
And it appears as though his blocking has really improved a lot. Now, again, they're not lining him up, and, you know, he's going to be their stud tight end, but he's improved in that area as well.
Yeah, he's evolving. He's a pro as well. He's trying to get better every year at different things, and I'm sure that's something they told him they wanted to get better at.
A St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle come in spring of 2013. For more info, visit healthwealthraffle.org. The Big Red Rage back right after this.
Batted in the air and intercepted by Dockett at the 45-yard line.
That is just an unbelievable play by Darnell Dockett.
Caught by Zach Kesey, and he fumbled the ball. He got smoked.
Darnell Dockett comes in and cleans somebody's clock.
Smith in trouble. Sack. Dockett got him at the 25-yard line.
You gotta be kidding me.
Back to 2007, who has more sacks than this defensive lineman in the NFL, than this defensive tackle? If you look at these stats, no one.
Oh!
No one since 2007 has more sacks than our guest. We're running the no huddle here. Go ahead, Kerry, bring him in on the Big Red Rage.
My guest today, he was a little late, just a little bit, but...
That's for you to say, not me. That's for you to say.
But I'm very happy he came, man. One of our better players and one of our leaders on the defense. Mr. Darnell Dockett.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, man. I apologize for being late. I know y'all can appreciate somebody really going to get some treatment to get ready for this Monday night game, so that's why I'm late. So hopefully, you know, that pays off on Monday.
And you've been doing anything and everything you can with the hamstring, right?
Yeah, man, it sucks. That's the first injury I'd have had to that extent.
Because you had an unbelievable start. I mean, just looking at it real quick, I mean, against Seattle, the 5 tackles, the 3 QB hits, New England, 4 tackles, the pass defense, the QB pressure, and then, boom, the hamstring.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the worst injuries I had. Hmm. So I'm just finally starting to come back from it, running around. Right now, I'm making strides to get better so I can, you know, get back to that dominant player.
So, you're going to be ready to go Monday night? You think you're going to be fine Monday night? Is it going hamper you? How much do you think it's going to hamper you on Monday night? And how do you feel about playing on Monday night?
I'll be a little sore and a little hurting until I see that 49ers helmet. Then all the pain just go away.
Oh, here we go. Dang.
How special is playing on Monday night for you as a player?
It's very special. You know, it's very thankful, you know, to have an opportunity to do that. It's also because our games are on West Coast. A lot of East Coast teams don't see us, and I feel that, you know, we have one of the best defenses out there. So I think that'll give an opportunity to show our team, show our fans, show our stadium, and put us on the map.
So you see Niner red, and it's more like you're seeing blood red. Something happens to you, doesn't it?
No question. I hate that team.
Now, elaborate on that a little bit. Was this a slow grind? Was it something instantaneous a few years ago? How did it come to be that you utter those words?
When we was beating them, you know, they always had a bunch of excuses, you know, of why they lost and things like that. And when Singletary's there, he kind of made it more of a physical game, you know, with us. And that's the team that talked the most trash. And right now, they the best in the division. You know, I can honestly say that because they have won the division last year. They still NFC West champs. I respect that. But Monday, that don't mean anything. It's you know, we battle for first place.
even though Adam Snyder is now on your team, they still talk all that trash?
Oh, yeah, they talk trash. You already know what you're going to get. This is going to be one of those games where the whole team is going to be in the cold tub come Tuesday and Wednesday. There's going to be some blood shedding, some helmets flying, some flags going. It's going to be one of those games.
It's going to be some fights, no question.
Yeah.
Do you talk to the other guys, some of the younger guys on your defense? Do you talk to them about this and your expectations as one of the team leaders in that locker room?
It's you can say things to them. I've said things to them, but they don't really feel the gratitude of the game until the game starts. And when you get hit in the mouth a couple times, they realize these guys coming off harder than any team we done played against.
So do you try to prepare them for that?
I try, but you can't compare them for, you know.
And you just got to go through it, is
exactly,
what you said.
Exactly.
So, Kerry, if you're a rookie, there was the jump from mini camp to the preseason, then preseason to the regular season, now regular season to 49er season. Is that what you're saying? It's progression?
Oh, yeah, it's a progression. You got to get to the point where, you know, you get your feet wet as a rookie. You go in and get some games in, and then, like you said, pow, you get hit in the mouth a couple of times against the 49ers, and you know that it's a little different. It's the real deal. So you just got to be mentally prepared.
What do you guys know about Jim Harbaugh as a head coach? What do you know about him? Because you guys talk to players. I know you do. You talk to players on other teams. And what have you heard about Jim Harbaugh as a head coach?
I don't hear too much. I hear some things here and there, but I really don't worry about what I hear from. I really just go by his product he put on the field and what he's done for that program. And he's definitely been winning with that team and that program. So
no question.
I'll just look at him as a winner.
Yeah. How was that difference or that offense different last year? What was there? Did the style change? Were they even more of a power running smash mouth team than they were previously?
You know, I missed both games against them last year, so I really don't know. But I think they're pretty similar. I think they like to run the ball and be a power team and take their shots. So I'll think the same.
Smash mouth.
Yeah, I was going to say, Darnell, when they run the ball in particular, is it a lot of down blocks and pull the uncovered lineman, or is it zone?
Yeah, but they come right
at a combination of both.
Yeah, a combination of both, but they coming straight downhill. It ain't no secret. They coming straight at you.
Especially with Frank Gore. He's not running outside. Running him.
No, he's down.
He's one of the better backs in the league that follow his blocks, and he likes to get hit. And, two or three guys sometimes can be all around him, and he'll still make guys miss. So it's going to be interesting.
Most physical game of the year. No question?
No question. No question.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just whoop your type of game.
Oh, man, I wish.
Savoring that a little bit. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about Frank Gore on the other side. Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, Darnell Dockett here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford.
The lone setback, Frank Gore on first down. Gore gets the carry to the right side. Blockers in front. Gore to the 20. Turns the corner to the 15. Down the sideline at the 10. To the 5. And he backs into the end zone for the touchdown. 23 yards for Frank Gore.
All right, so if you guys are wondering, if you haven't looked at the stats yet, he's on pace for nearly a 1,400-yard rushing season, Frank Gore, and he's averaging 5.8 yards a carry.
Yeah.
That is a question right now for Kerry Rhodes and Darnell Dockett on the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. So I say Frank Gore. Kerry, what do you think of?
Just a complete back. I mean, he can pass protect, he can run, he can catch the ball out the backfield, and he's very determined runner. So that's what I would say when I think of Frank Gore.
And for you, Darnell, I mean, of all the backs you guys play, you just came off a game where you faced Adrian Peterson. Where does Frank Gore rank, and what sort of challenge is it?
It's tough. I definitely would say they're number one and two backs in the NFL. And that's not me just saying it, just to say it. Really, those two guys are really some dominant players. When I think Frank Gore, I think of tough yardage, determined. Great story how he became to who he was. I know his old story, and just a great player.
Do you have an advantage because you played against him so many years, twice a year? Does that give you any advantage over like some newcomer defensive lineman that might come in on a Monday night?
Not at all. I just feel like I got advantage because we're at home and we got our fans and our crowd, so I like that better than going out there and play.
And that crowd noise gives the D-line, especially, an edge, doesn't it?
Yes.
Trying to get off the ball?
Yes, yes. If our crowd come to play, too, our crowd got to come to play on Monday night. If they come to play, the chances of us really dominating up front is high.
They'll be there.
They really are a run-centric team, aren't they? They are a run-first football team offensively.
Yeah, definitely. Hands down.
You know, it's funny when you go inside the numbers, too, Paul. You look at the 49ers, 177 yards rushing per game. Yep. 170, that's number two in the National Football League per game. And they're number one yards per carry, 5.89 every time they hand it off. And what is so impressive about that, they're number eight in attempts. They're not fooling anybody in the NFL. Everybody knows what they're going to do. Yep. They line up and they get the job done.
So what did the Giants do to them? What happened in Minnesota when they lost? They have two losses. Yeah. I mean, what did you guys glean from those game tapes?
Well, just I think, like I said, from the Giant game, I think the Giants came out and they were the more physical team. I think up front they dominated. They gave their guys on the back end chances to make plays, and they made the plays and they won the game. But I think they just played more physical than they did, and that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. You know, when you were the Jets, you tell me, but yeah. Teams not only wanted to beat you, they wanted to grind you into the ground because Rex Ryan was talking, right?
Yeah.
Do you sense some of that with the Niners? I don't sense that they would win any sort of contest for Q rating. They don't seem to be real well-liked in the NFL. Does that come into play when you go against these guys?
I have no idea. I don't know. I just know I don't like the 49ers, so... Anybody else, any other team, I don't really care.
And you know what's funny is in training camp, for folks who weren't there, you and Adam Snyder, you know, there was some friction there at the beginning. I mean, you guys just came off 7 years, twice a year, right, mixing it up. It's not like, you know, I mean, it was a process to sort of become teammates, wasn't it?
Very weird and strange. When I first saw him, I was like, what's up? And he was like, what's up? And then we walked away. And then I saw him again. I was like, how you doing? He's like, I'm doing good. How are you? And they walk away. And then I just talked to him no more like 4 days after that until we finally just sat down and said, look, we're teammates now. We're not going to fight. It's us against them now. He's like, okay, we get along. We shake hands. And then we move forward.
But now you can catch them in the cold tub together exchanging pleasantries. So that's how that goes now.
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's, oh, wow.
That was
TMI. That's too much info.
Revealing right there.
That's way too much info.
Do you ever worry about doing too much, especially in this defense? This defense is so disciplined, and responsibilities, of course, have to be adhered to defensively in order for the defense to work. Do you ever worry about guys feeling like they got to do more than just their job?
I feel like sometimes when the scoreboard is not on our side, I feel like some guys just feel like, man, we got to make a play. We got to get our offense back the ball. But, you know, you really can't play it like that. You just got to go out and just do your job, play technique sound, do what you need to do, and your plays will come to you, and it'll come to us. Don't press it.
Darnell, a couple of times the last 2 weeks, the media's come up to you, asked some of those questions about the offense and so forth, and the defense maybe carrying the team. You shut those down right away, didn't you?
Yeah, no question. I just believe we're a team at the end of the day. It don't matter if offense does well, defense does well. When you lose a game or win a game, it doesn't say, you know, Arizona Cardinal defense won the game. It says no Arizona Cardinals, and we'll win when we walk on the field. So that's all that matters.
Speaking of, a reminder, each passing touchdown this season, when it happens, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local schools through the Passing for Touchdown Schools Fund. Wells Fargo together will go far. Next, we'll wrap it up here in the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes and Darnell Dockett. The show received a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Gold Rush Jewelry in Casa Grande, Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. Welcome back in. Down the stretch we come on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and Darnell Dockett. And Darnell, we talked about this a little earlier. No one's going to pick the Cardinals on Monday night. Is that good or bad for the Arizona Cardinals?
We don't care. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go play the game. I can honestly say with our first four games we won, I mean, people pick us to lose, four out of four? So it don't make a difference. You still got to go play the game on Monday. So predictions are just for people who sit behind desks and had nothing else to do.
In 2008, we saw you guys stuff them at the goal line, right? All that drama. You know, in 2007, it was like Eric Green, fall on the football. It didn't happen. They scored with a couple seconds to go. You know, 2006 Monday Night Football, of course, the Monday Night Meltdown and Denny Green. Derek Anderson a couple of years ago. Is something crazy going to happen on Monday night?
I don't know. Stay tuned.
I have no idea.
Stay tuned.
I don't know.
You guys getting a sense of vibe? I mean, what do you expect in this game? How do you think it's going to play out?
I don't know. I just know it's going to be physical, and it's going to be very physical. That's all I know. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you two things. The game going to start, and the game going to be physical.
What about, again, though, what do you think some of the keys to winning this football game will be if you had to speculate?
I think the best team. Not the best individuals, not the best one or two people. I think the best team. The best team that comes out and play four quarters, don't make no mistakes, have each other back, play as one unit, go win the game.
In all three phases. In all three offensively, phases. Defensively, and in transition.
No question.
Darnell's going to be wearing a wireless mic, I believe, if that's for Monday Night Football. That's going to be entertaining. That's my prediction. I'm not calling the game. I'm going to say it's be very entertaining when you're wearing a mic.
He's wired?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be crazy
on Monday Night Football.
Remember the kids now.
Special thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, James Mello, Tiffany Witt. The executive producer is Tim Delaney. And special thanks to Kerry Rose, of course, folks. Darnell Doggett, you guys take it away. Say goodbye, Kerry.
Hey, thank you guys again for coming out. It's always a blast. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. See you guys on Monday.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rose.
Rose to the five. Touchdown!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store. Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.